Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening.
You are listening to the Sappening Podcast featuring myself, Morgan Richards.
And me, Sean Smith.
I just thought I'd mix it up.
I don't know where you were going with that.
I wanted to see the look on your face and there was a moment of terror.
I didn't know where you were going with it. That's why I sounded a bit weird.
Yes, the double S. That's my new intro. Yes, it's the double S.
Oh,
I'm going to be obnoxious, more so than usual going forward.
What, more obnoxious than me going, it's me?
Yes, it's the double S. I'm going to have t-shirts made, that's it. If you see me, don't say that to me, please don't.
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
What have we been up to this week? What have you been up to this week, Morg?
Busy week, catching up with all the news and shenanigans happening in the world of rock music and beyond. Went to a couple of gigs.
Tell me about your time at concerts.
I'll talk about one later on.
Yeah.
But went to see the lovely Brian Fallon from the Gaslight Anthem this week. Played a special Evening With show in the Tram Shed in Cardiff.
How was that?
Absolutely hilarious. Playing acoustic numbers, few on piano, and just stood up and told jokes and just stories about his life.
He's a lovely chap, Brian Fallon.
He very much is.
I had the pleasure of meeting him at Soundwave 1 year. And he was nice. Remembered my name after a day, which is something I don't normally expect people. He'd met me once and then remembered my name the next day, which blows my mind because I always think that people think of my head as like a pink balloon. Just plain, no, hardly any features, and it's easily forgotten.
But back then you were probably rocking that bleach blonde.
So
maybe he was like, who the hell's this fella?
What's this daft blonde motorbike wearing helmet lady doing? What's this fat lady doing? Oh, wait, she's got a daft, oh my God, is there something wrong with her? Oh no, she's Welsh. Fair enough.
Splings everything.
Yeah.
So I went to see him. Keeping up the trend of new music that came out this week.
Yep.
A song I haven't stopped listening to is the new one with Youngblood and Halsey.
Halsey.
Everyone pronounces it wrong.
Do they?
Yeah.
Or do you pronounce it wrong?
I'm going with everybody else.
All right. Youngblood and Halsingfang.
Yes. Featuring Travis Barker.
It's
really
good.
It's a really good song. It's so catchy. And I'd even go out and say it. That's probably the best emo song of 2019 without it even being an emo song.
Wow. Halsey's a big fan of all of those.
Massively.
She's a big fan of the pop massively. Punk and emo and stuff. I like Youngblood. Seems like a top laugh.
Yeah.
The Liam Gallagher of the youth. You probably wouldn't like that comparison. But if you're from Manchester and you're loud, you're going to get that, I knew.
Yeah. And it's probably a good representation as well.
Yeah, Travis Barker, he's tidy.
Very tidy.
Very, very tattooed man.
He is.
When he's 90, he's going to look like a soggy colouring book.
Never thought of that.
Yep. That's cool, though.
Yeah.
It's cool. You can look whatever you want.
Yeah.
go on.
Speaking of Blink-182 members.
Ooh, I like it.
Mark Hoppus's new side project with Alex Gaskar of All Time Low.
Yep.
Called Simple Creatures. They've just announced their first ever festival performance. Their first ever gig.
Oh, aye.
Only a small one.
Oh.
I tell you what.
I wish it was somewhere where, I don't know, maybe we could probably interview them or something. But
maybe.
You know, knowing our luck, Morg, that'll never happen.
Well, they're playing... Oh, it's Download Festival.
Wait. This. Wait. You mean. The set? What? Marco. The guy from Alta. The same Download Festival that we have been invited to.
Yeah, the very same.
Unbelievable.
What's the chances? Their first ever gig after we announce we're there, they're like, oh boy,
I see what's happened. Mark Oppus listened to last week's episode.
Obviously.
Found out we were on Download.
Yeah.
Booked his first gig with Alex for Download. Of course he have. You're not getting one over on me, brother. I'm too quick for you, brother.
If you that badly want to come on the podcast, Mark Hoppus, just give us a message. Just give us a DM.
I can't believe he had to make a new band just to come over to Download to be on the podcast. Mad.
Oh, that's mad. Crazy.
He lives in London.
Yeah. Just, you know.
He didn't even have to make the band.
Yeah, just hop on the train. Been cheaper, surely.
Unbelievable. We'd have come to him. Probably. If Mark Hoppus, right, confirmed an interview with us, I think we could find a way to get to him.
Probably, yeah. There's a good chance of that.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, Mark, give us a message. We'll,
give us a bell, bud. You got my number. You haven't.
Well, you can DM you, though. Or me. You
can, yeah.
DM me, that'll be better.
It won't be better.
Speaking of Download, NXT UK will be there for the wrestling, for the WWE fans.
Can't wait, Mark. I've never seen the wrestling in a Download.
Have you not?
I've never been.
I've been... As I mentioned last week, I've been to Download every year since 2014. So I've been there for the few years they've had NXT and WWE there. Oh, it's been great. I think it's such a different experience combined in the rock and wrestling. We've talked a lot about that in the podcast in the past. But no, it's just great atmosphere. And yeah, they're going to be bringing all their top stars from NXT UK. Pete Dunne, Walter, Tony Storm, Flash Morgan Webster. Mark Andrews.
Any Americans? Ricochet's gone, only Ricochet. He's up.
Well, they haven't announced any of the main NXT roster, just the UK for now. For now.
Wink. But you can't see this, but wink.
There's always going to be surprises.
Yeah.
Always going to be surprises.
Triple H will be here, won't he?
Oh, yeah.
Looking like Pritchard on steroids. Yep, there you go.
Whoa, the penny dropped there.
You're welcome.
Oh, have you ever...
It's all about the vegan.
Have you ever seen him in the same room?
No. But I can't imagine Pritchard would be allowed in the same room as Triple H. Because he'd do something daft like, oh, I tell you what, man, I fucking slap him for a laugh now, right? Everybody in here will be laughing. Slap. Uh-oh. Pedigreed. Doomsday-like. Yeah. I've never seen him in the same room. It could be brothers or Triple H. And Triprich H. I haven't gone anywhere. Carry on, Morg.
Other bands announced to Download who I wanted to talk about was a band you know very well called Hot Milk.
Oh, yes. I know Hannah from Hot Milk.
Yeah,
yes.
They'll be playing. And they've also announced this week that they'll be supporting Death of Honor in tour in March.
Nice.
Who apparently have been listening to the podcast.
Apparently so.
So could shout out. But shout out to them if so.
Yeah. Love the Death of Honor boys, as I said last week. And yeah, hopefully we'll have them on soon.
Yeah, hopefully. And yeah, Hot Milk's debut single.
Hot Milk. We've had people say to us, get more girls on ya, right? And we are up for that. You don't realise how up for it we are.
Be honest. I've tried to book many a female to appear on the podcast, but they have not been available or they're not around. So Hannah from Hot Milk.
Stop sending them pictures of faces first though, Morg, because that's probably scaring them off.
It's your it's your giant head that's on the...
Here we go.
If it was mine...
Do you want me to unload? I can, Morg.
Moving on.
Morg, you'll edit what I'll say out. Anyway, so Hannah from Hot Milk, she has to come on at some point. I'd like her.
Please
She's a very funny girl and I like her band.
And check out the new single if you haven't already. It's very, very good. I'm really digging it.
Nice.
The pop punk vibes. A couple of quick more new music has come out this week. While She Sleeps.
Ooh. Do you know what? While She Sleeps. How do I say this? As a fan, I think might be my new favourite band moving forward because I just love everything about them.
Yeah.
I love the music. I love their ethos. I love how hard they work. I love everything they got going on. Well done to While She Sleeps.
Yeah, no, fair play. Yeah, the last album.
You can't
was...
see this, but I'm giving you two thumbs up.
He is.
See if you can hear my thumb. No, you can't.
Aww.
Yep.
Yeah, a new single out. New album come out soon as well. And the supergroup, the strangest supergroup I've seen in a while, are back. The Damned Things.
Ah, that's the lads from Fall Out Boy, Every Time I Die.
And Anthrax.
And Anthrax.
Three bands you just, you know,
You've never put together.
No.
Yeah. But they just get along superbly.
And they have some tracks that have riffs for days.
Do you know what? I don't normally check out new videos. Don't know why, right?
Yeah.
I haven't got time. Check out The Damned Things. One is brilliant. It's a singer from Every Time I Die. All those bands we just mentioned,
yeah,
and they're all dying one by one while they're recording. It's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really funny. It's funny. Check it out.
Oh, fair play. Speaking of weird bands, your new band, Raiders.
Weird band? Yeah.
I was trying to segue.
Speaking of bloody super groups, here we go.
Maybe I should have said that.
Tom Jones has turned up.
Elvis said to me, in 2019, you want to look out for the band called Raiders. They're going to be real tidy. And I swear to God, that's exactly the words in that order that Elvis said to me.
All right, Tom, see you later.
Ta-da, boys.
Oh, that was nice.
That was nice,
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played a gig on Saturday in Cobblestones in Bridgewater.
How did that go?
Excellent. Yeah. Loved it. Everyone at the gig was cool. All the people, all the audience. I climbed a fella in the front row straight
climbed
away.
Climbed a fella?
Yeah, tried to eat glass. I don't recommend that. Please do not try it.
Is glass vegan or not?
Ooh, it's crushed up sand. It's probably animal's bones. Can I use it? I don't know. Do vegans use oil? Yes, they do in their cars. That's dinosaurs' bones. This podcast is turning into me coming up with different things every week to try and put vegans
down.
That's
amazing.
Well, it is. Dinosaur bones.
Yeah, and you had your haircut while you were there.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Morg. Yeah. Morg.
They can't see
this, but this is how my hair sounds.
Right.
Yep. So.
Yeah, but when I had my haircut, you mentioned it, yeah, so I thought I'd be nice and say, Sean, you've had your haircut.
Thanks.
Looks good.
Thanks. You have
playing shows.
Yeah, it was a good show. We had a good time. Also, we've got the first mix of our song back from Ramesh as well, which I haven't played yet, so haha. But that might be available on our Patreon. No. yeah, so we've got the first mix of that back. We're going to make some tweaks to it, and then it'll be ours and ready to go out. I'm super excited, super duper excited for people to hear it.
Nice. Awesome. Before we stop rambling this nonsense, one thing I wanted to bring up that got my attention on Twitter was one of the members of Those Damn Crows.
Yeah.
Right. They posted a picture of a young Phil Collins and said it has a resemblance to me. Now, I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
You saw that tweet.
I did see that tweet.
And from the Sapling Pod account, you said
Twitter.com/Sapling Pod.
Yeah. You said it was a mixture of if
you and Alid got festivaled up together and made sweet, sweet, sweet red-headed love to a woman with sideburns, that's what would have popped out. Young Phil Collins. Please go and check out our Twitter to see. Go back and see this photo because it looks like the perfect mixture of Morgan, Alid, and a bird with sideburns. Only now I've realised, and I don't know how, that you've got a full beard, so she doesn't even need to have the sideburns.
She can if she wants, but no, you since
something to grip onto.
Since you said that, I looked at the photo, and I couldn't unsee.
Oh yeah,
what it you looks said. Like you it, and him it's spot on.
It looks like you and him have mixed the porridge up, and then some that has inseminated herself.
Well, to be safe, I think me and Alid should never party at a festival.
Yeah, don't become Eskimo brothers. Also, nobody Google what Eskimo brothers is. Yeah,
that's all the shenanigans
for this week.
For
is
this
it?
Week,
glad you finished our sentence. Glad I finished the sentence then, because we could have been waiting. Tidy. This week's guest are our first international guests, aren't they?
No, they're our first American guests.
Oh yeah, international.
Sean, you've been to Australia. You know there's a sea between you and Edinburgh.
They're first guests from across the pond.
Well, yeah, technically, Winston's come from across a big pond as well.
Yeah, but not the pond.
Oh, okay. Yeah, our guests this week are the fantastic May Day Parade.
Yes.
Yes.
Big fan of the May Day Parades.
Yes, you are.
I am.
As we brought up with the interview.
Yeah, we do. I think it's safe to say that I really pushed to get them on.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the big, really breakout bands of that pop punk emo scene from like the early 2000s.
Yeah, and still going to this day.
Still
My
going strong.
After we stopped recording was, boys, for my sake, please never leave your band. Well,
Yeah.
And it was a really sad moment. I said it thinking, this will be nice now. And it just came out like I was like, I miss Simon's doing that. But yeah, they were fantastic. What have we talked to them about? Their latest album?
Yeah, obviously they've been a band for 13 years. They've seen all sorts change in that emo pop punk music scene and industry. We talked to them about their new album, Sunnyland, how I think is probably some of their best work yet.
Yeah.
We reminisce about their massive...
Wait, we don't need to do all it. This is about to come up anyway, isn't it? I suppose.
Aye, true. Well, we'll just say, let me
yeah, go on, you finish.
Let me just say, we talk new album, reminiscing, evanescing and romantics, and everything else in between.
Nice.
Plus, there's a Back to the Future reference in there.
Tidy. Lovely, lovely stuff. Yes.
Massive shout out to Hayley Connolly for sorting this for us as well.
Awesome, Hayley Connolly. Who I know doesn't listen to this.
She does not?
No, I don't know. I'm just sick of saying that other people do listen to it.
I hope she does listen to it, because...
I doubt it, but...
Well, we're both...
Well, this is how we'll find out. Hayley, if you listen to this, email sapninpodcast@gmail.com with the word sponge. There you go.
Or tweet us as well.
No. I want an email, sapninpodcast@gmail.com, sponge, just to know that Hayley Connolly's listened to this. And if she hasn't listened to it, I'm going to get very, very angry with her. But thank you very much to that,
Hayley. Thank you. We love Hayley. And while we're on about her, I had a message from someone requesting her on the podcast.
Did you?
Yes. And I said, well, surely she has no option but to come on the podcast for us.
I'd like her very much, yeah.
At some point. So
the Mayday Parade boys mentioned how much they loved Hayley as well. Anybody who knows Hayley loves Hayley. And I'd love to have her on a podcast.
Yeah, she'd be great to show the other side of the industry for like PR and management and working with bands and stuff.
It would
for people who not...
It'd be a very interesting podcast, I believe.
It would.
So maybe in the future we'll have Hayley on.
Yeah.
But yeah, what else? What other news have we got? Is there any other news?
Well, of course, we started the Patreon last week.
The Patreon.
Patreon.com/Sapnin.
Oh, you were trying to get in on the voices now, were you?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
That's
I'm
my
rubbing
fancy.
Off on you too much. And not in a dirty way. Yeah, we started a Patreon. Patreon.com/Sapnin. Basically, it's a website where you can go and you can help...
help us. The creators create content for you to then enjoy.
Yeah, in a way. Go and check out our Patreon. And yeah, there's different perks and stuff, and you can decide if you want anything or...
There's different rewards and tiers and stuff for you to help us out and get things out of it.
And if you check out the tiers and you don't fancy any of those things, you can also do a custom Patreon where, you can give us any pence, and we will gladly use it on new equipment.
Yeah, well, if you want to give us enough for a cup of coffee or...
Between us, we can share the coffee.
We can pour it out. I'll drink coffee, I'll drink the other, wherever. We'll find a way. But yeah, if you want to do that, that'd be very much appreciated. And a massive thank you to all our Patreons and everyone who's helped support us so far.
Yeah.
We've only had...
Like Tesco, every little helps. So thank you very much
for everybody so much so far.
And everybody seems to be enjoying their perks and the tiers and stuff.
Yeah, they do,
and
yeah.
Everyone we've been speaking to in the Sapnin Podcast community group that we've started is really cool and has had some interesting ideas. And yeah, so...
Yeah, it's been great to see the reaction we've had from our Patreon, only starting it a week ago. As you mentioned, that exclusive Sapnin Podcast community group, it's been great to see everyone talking about as well. So if you want to get involved with that, share us your ideas, hear things for the first time exclusively before anyone else, then check out all the details.
Yeah, that's cool. Nice. Well, good plug here.
Patreon.com.
Patreon.com/SAPNIN. Or check out our other socials, twitter.com/SAPENINPOD. And yes, I do have to make this face every time, Morg. Instagram.com/SAPENINPOD.
Like that new metal band, but...
Without the dreadlocks.
Yeah, like that.
So, this week we decided, because we couldn't really stay very long for May Day because
they were very busy.
Yeah, they were very busy.
We
turned up late due to backlog traffic. So yeah, we only had like half hour with them.
So we were lucky enough to travel down to Bristol to speak with Derek and Brooks from the band. We got caught in a little bit of traffic, as Sean mentioned, pushed our plans back a little bit. So we only got about a selected time with them because they're very busy boys on their UK tour.
I'm sure I just said all this.
With the Wonder Years.
I said all that up until a bit, right? I didn't mention Wonder Years. We can go back and listen to that. People are... Rewind 30 seconds. You can do it on the podcast. Rewind 30 seconds and see if I just said the exact same thing Morgan just did.
I know, but I was trying to explain because anyway, we're rambling on here.
Anyway, so yeah, with it only being half hour, we decided that we would ask the people who are part of the Patreon if they had any questions.
Yes, for an exclusive Q&A.
So yeah, so I guess here we go.
Yeah, it's question time.
Probably can't do the theme.
I was thinking.
Edit the theme in. Oh no, we can't. We'll get done for it.
Oh. Saturday
podcast. Right then. First question of the very short Q&A we're going to do is from John Price.
Ooh, big love to John Price.
Big beard John Price. Big beard things.
John Price.
Seeing as both you and Morgan are big wrestling fans, what would be your dream match? Wrestlers new or old? Match stipulation and result. I would like to see. Oh, it's a toughie, innit?
That's a very good question. Match that comes to mind.
Yeah.
Right? Serious now. I would love to see the Velveteen Dream.
Nice.
One on one with The Rock.
That would be good.
Because the build up to that with all the talking and their fancy pants and charisma would be outstanding.
Do you mean fancy pants as in the pants that they're wearing or just because they're sassy?
Both.
Literally
bit of both because their outfits are, well, Velveteen Dream's outfits are always on point.
Yeah. He's like the new Rick Rude, really, isn't he?
Oh, he is, yeah.
I think mine would be Shawn Michaels versus Ricochet.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, because one's flippy and mad and stuff and the other one's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, Shawn Michaels, so.
Yeah. But also another
in a cage.
Ooh, I'd love to see Adam Cole,
baby.
Maybe face off AJ Styles or something like that.
Oh, very good. Also, good. Ricochet AJ would be good.
Mm-hmm. You're a big fan of Ricochet, by the sounds of it. Kevin Owens against the Great Khali in a bamboo bicycle match.
Yeah, first one to assemble a bicycle out of bamboo. Anyway, next question. Mike Cunningham's gone with, who's the toughest person you've toured with that you could take in a fight? Well, that doesn't make sense because if they're the toughest person I know and I've toured with them, I wouldn't be able to take them in a fight, would I? Does that make sense to you?
Your explanation makes sense. The question doesn't make sense to me, sorry.
What else did you say? We'd ignore it now because that's a daft question. Would you rather be chased by, would you rather be chased by and have to fend off one horse-sized duck, 10 duck-sized spiders, or 100 spider-sized horses? Piece of piss, this one is. I would rather face 100 spider-sized horses.
Okay, yeah.
Think how quick you can make all of them 2D. You could just jump on them, right? One horse-sized duck. You're not fighting an horse-sized duck, you.
No.
You're going to get
billed
to death, right? And then 10 duck-sized spiders.
Oh.
I ate spider-sized spiders.
Oh, me, yeah.
So duck-sized spiders can one.
That's a very odd question. Why are you imagining those
I think Mike Cunningham's a very odd boy.
What goes on in your head?
But also, he's on the Patreon. So
we love you. It's fine.
Person. You're the best.
More questions like that, please.
Here we go. For Morgan, don't know why he says for Morgan.
Ooh.
Favorite ever touring lineup was probably the recent Parkway Drive, Killswitch, and Thy Art Is Murder. But he once saw at the drive-in supporting Bring Me the Horizon, so that was pretty sick too. And he means sick as in the American term for good, not what sick means.
Touring lineup. I'm trying to think now. I did very much enjoy the recent one a couple of years back, Taking Back Sunday, and was supported by Frank Iroh.
Nice.
So that was a good combination. Going back to 2004.
Nice.
Saw Busted and McFly playing with each other before McBusted was a thing.
Wow. What's my favourite lineup? I know I wasn't asked, you know, despite my name being on the podcast and stuff. But who's my favourite lineup?
I'll tell you what, I'll be nice here.
Go on.
I'll be really
You're
nice.
Help.
A throwback has just come into my head of seeing Blink-182
yeah.
supported by All American Rejects
yeah.
and The Blackout.
That is a very good line. Lost very, Alone. No, no, that was my
No, that was
Romance.
My yeah, Chemical yeah. Romance tour.
Sorry. Yeah, that's a good lineup. My favourite one would probably be Gallows in TJs when I think Lethal Bizzle supported him. That was a good end.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in TJs in Newport.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, cool. That's that one. Sean, Leeds 2011, I have a very strong recollection of the Blackout coming out on stage, smashing Shut the Fuck Up a cut, then you violently chundering off the front of the stage. Who is to blame for getting you in the mess on a Friday night?
Can I answer that?
That's John Price again, mind.
Can I answer that for you?
I don't think you know the answer.
Oh, I was imagining it would just be yourself.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it wasn't an alcohol-based thing. I do it a lot. Basically, if I get really, really excited or run about too much, like a child, you know, like if a child has food and then runs about too much, they spew, right? That's me. I'm a 35-year-old child who can't keep his sick down, and I've been sick in my latest gigs as well with Raiders, so...
You should see him when you're recording the podcast.
Do you know how many edits there are in this podcast of me having to stop to blow chunks? It's obviously... would you ever consider doing a song with a rapper? And what's the craziest thing you've done on tour?
Yeah, I'd probably do a song with a rapper.
Morgan
yeah.
would love to do a song with a rapper.
Any of those SoundCloud rappers. If Eminem, the band Eminem, want to get in touch, I'll do a song with him.
Yeah. Otherwise, yes. The answer is yes, because we have. The Blackout did a song with a rapper.
Hero the Hero.
What's the craziest thing you've done on tour? Took Matthew Pritchard out with us. Go back and listen to the Matthew Pritchard episode and you find out why he nearly smashed the bus up.
Episode 9.
Here we go. Here's another question. Was it harder becoming a big band from being a small town like Merthyr Tydfil? I don't know, really, because I've got nothing to look at. Like, do you know what I mean? I haven't done it from... I haven't been in another big band from a different town. Do you know what I mean? So
I know it
was hard work.
You weren't in a band in LA first, then went,
yeah.
Tell you what.
I'd rather start from a smaller town. And
it's going to be for Tidbull.
Yeah, it makes it harder for me. Yeah. Yeah, it was difficult. Yeah, we played loads of shows to nobody and yeah, just, you can only imagine how many covers bands you have to play with and they're like, you don't sound anything like us. And like, yeah, yeah. Do you ever think about a change in musical direction before settling on the Blackout sound? Coming out of Merthyr, were there any peers that didn't make it? Yes. Yes. Scott Jones. To answer the first bit of the question, the Blackout never decided on a sound. We literally got into a room together and just jammed out songs and whatever what it came out with, we just loved. Like, bands like Faith No More, they had done now where they just go into the studio and they'd come out with like 12 completely different sounding songs. We always kind of wanted to go like a and second question, coming out of Merthyr, was any peers that didn't make it? Yeah, there's a band from Aberdare called Pete's Sake.
Oh, yeah.
Who I genuinely believe if they had stayed together like a year longer, we would have been in a position where we could have taken bands out on tour and we would have taken Pete's Sake on tour. Because they were awesome. They were like a pop punk band. They were like thrice meets pop punk and they were amazing. Some of those boys are in a new band called Wager that everybody should check out. I'm sure Raiders and Wager will be doing some shows together.
Nice.
And their name does sound like our name if you've got a weird speech impediment, I suppose. Raider, Wager.
Wager.
All right. what other bands were there? There's a band called Midas Uno from Merthyr that did very well, but not as well as I believe they should have.
You could argue Hondo McLean as well.
Hondo McLean were one of the greatest metal bands of all time. One of the most entertaining bands I've ever seen in my life. Jesus Christ, there's loads of bands from South Wales. Shape by Fate were good. Brutality World Reveal are still good. I don't think they've yet had the credit they deserve.
I'd even go to bands that of recent years, like People the Poet, Straight Lines weren't massive. Well, especially that second record.
There's loads.
Yeah.
But yeah, just check them out. Search for yourselves. And I'm telling you, there's some really good musicians in South Wales. What's been the most memorable venue you've played, and what's your ambition plan for Raiders? That's from Paul Hirschfield. Well, Paul, the most memorable venue I've ever played, the Blackout supported Linkin Park in Madrid in a bullring.
Wow. Nice.
How many bands do you know played a bullring? Can't be many. Or all Spanish bands, I don't know. Perhaps it's an everyday occurrence for them. But yeah, we played a bullring, which was weird. And what's my ambition plan for Raiders? Just to get to play as much as possible. We did a gig on the weekend and it was great. And literally for like 2 to 3 hours, I was back in that world and everything felt right.
Oh, that's a nice touch to it.
Try not to cry, Morg.
It's okay.
Morgan Hugh Richards, full title.
Full title, that's, yeah.
Who's been the most engaging person you've interviewed, and how do you overcome a guest who may not be as open?
That's a good journalistic question.
That's from Paul. Should be a journalist.
Most engaging, I think... It's hard to rate them all. I think ones that come out to mind from a while back, Roman Reigns.
Nice.
I was very lucky enough to speak to him, and I was...
Congratulations to Roman Reigns. He's back in the WWE. He's taking some time out, and now he's out of remission from his leukemia, so...
Yeah, battle with leukemia.
He's a big fan, so cheers, yeah. Roman.
Yeah, no, great to see him back. No, I got to speak to him once, and I was a little bit worried beforehand that he might be a bit, like, just abrupt and not really answer the questions, but he was such a lovely guy. What was great to see was I asked him a question that he had to think about, and he said, like, oh, that's a great thought. I've never thought of it like that.
Oh, that's nice.
So that was great. Another one, Charlie Simpson.
Lovely fella.
Love speaking to Charlie Simpson. Hopefully, if he's listening to this, come on the podcast soon, because he has said in the past he would.
He will. We'll sort that out. So, I love Charlie.
I
love Charlie. I'm going to keep saying it. I love him. He's fantastic. Lovely boy. Sorry.
Yeah, the first two come to mind. And dealing with ones that aren't so open, I think you just... It's hard to describe.
Well, you have to. You're on a podcast, someone's asked you a question. You're a terrible guest on a podcast.
I am, but that's why I'm like one of the co-hosts, not a regular guest. I think you just got to make them comfortable. That's what I try and do from the get-go. If it's a silly, stupid pun that they can laugh at and go, oh, right, okay, then they can do. I like to take my interviews a little bit more seriously. You know, you've probably noticed some seriouser questions from me sometimes on this.
Yeah,
and just try and make them comfortable and enjoy the time they have with you instead of being like, oh, we've got to do this now.
Mm. Okay, cool.
And good. Don't ask stupid questions like, where's your name from?
Who's the worst person you've ever... Ness Smith has gone with, if you could both choose to interview anyone who has ever lived, who would you choose to interview and what would you want to ask them?
Straight off the top, I'll tell you the top three people I would love on this podcast. Right. The Rock.
Yes. Dwayne.
Just because many reasons.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox.
Oh, nice.
Also known as Marty McFly from the Back to the Future films. Yep. That would be a dream. And Hayley Williams.
Lovely.
Who gets a lot of love on this podcast.
She does get a lot of love on this podcast.
I've never had the pleasure of meeting any of those three, but I would absolutely love to.
Me, I would go with... I do it all for the views, I would see. So I'd be Adolf Hitler. Jesus Christ. If you can prove that he exists. And tell you what, I'll do a twofer, right? They can both come in because they both got the same first name. Mm. Jeremy Kyle and Clarkson, right? Just so I can fight them to the death.
I can't imagine Jeremy Kyle or Jeremy Clarkson on this.
No, me neither. Because I'd kill them. I hate them as humans.
I'd love them to come on if, you know, I know they're big, massive fans of Saturday Podcast, but you know, if they want to come on, they're more than welcome. But I just can't see it.
The Jeremy's gonna fuck right off, both of them.
I'll tell you who else.
I'm having a rant now. One's racist to a deadline. That's Clarkson every week on that Top Gear Grand, whatever it's called, Turismo Grand Tour. That's it. Yeah.
Grand Turismo.
And then Jeremy Kylen, who uses the less fortunate people of the north of England for his show, like, when himself, he used to be a former alcoholic. So, really? And is him slagging off people for drinking and taking drugs, and he's a gambling addicted alcoholic, apparently. So,
wow.
Nice one, Jezza, you fucking prick.
Wow.
That took a dark turn. Nobody expected that.
Nope, not at all.
So Hitler, Jesus Christ, and the Jeremies. I think we'll have to cut short with some of these, but we have got this now saved for next time as well. So last question then from Kelly Tyra. Guiltiest pleasure music wise. See, I'm not.
Yeah, see,
I don't feel guilty about anything.
Same here. Like, you are. It's obvious from episode 5 how big of McFly fan I am. I've said it on here just now as well.
Yeah.
Love me some McFly. So,
and that time you talk about Dougie and you nearly come. Well, look at me in the
eyes. No. No, I call him sexy pants. That's all I said. I didn't do anything
else. While wetting your pants, yeah.
I didn't do anything else. I will not have those allegations on the podcast, Sean.
This is libel or slander, whichever one that is, and I'll see you in court.
No, but I don't feel guilty about listening to anything. Like, I really enjoy all sorts of music.
Cool.
What about you?
I haven't got any. I like pop, I like rock, I like dance. There's, you name it, I'll give it a bash, really. Yeah. There's nothing... nothing I'm ashamed that I like.
Yeah, I've seen James Blunt live.
I like him more on Twitter than I do.
Yeah, he didn't read any tweets.
Which is a shame, really, because that's some of his best work. Anyway, should we move on with the episode?
Yeah, maybe we should get the guests in, though.
Yeah, tidy. So here we go. Sorry about all that. This is Mayday Parade on Sapling Podcast. Fucking lovely stuff.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
What's happening? Hey, woo. What's up?
Oh.
What's happening?
Oh.
We got it. Sorry, just a little bit late.
Our guest this week, as you probably know from the long intro that we do every week, and the fact that you can read, so you've downloaded this and you can read the names, we've got Derek and Brooks from Mayday Parade.
Woo! Hello. It's good to be here. Thanks for having us, guys.
No, our pleasure.
Thank you for having us on your lovely warm tour bus.
It's very warm. Nice. It's
much better being in here than outside.
Yeah, play some PS4 as well before the show.
Right.
Bit of Resident Evil 2.
Resident Evil 2.
How's that going?
It's amazing. It's so good. But I'm a huge fan of all these games. In fact, the very original, the first Resident Evil is probably my favorite video game of all time. And so
this is a remake, though, right?
It's a remake of the second one. It came out a few weeks back, and they just killed it. It's so good.
Yeah, what's the character? Claire and... Oh, I remember back in the day spending hours on this, losing hours in this game.
Yeah.
Is Jill on here?
No, that's the first one. That's Claire here is the chick in this one. Yeah. Yeah. So good, though. They really, I mean, they did a great job with the remake.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were speaking before we started, and you were saying this is the last but one UK show. How's the UK been for you?
It's been really good. It's always a lot of fun, and this tour is shorter than usual for us. Mm-hmm. Normally, we'd spend about 2 weeks, I'd say, in the UK.
It's nice for that. It's nice to do a week, and I feel like it's concise. You know, people have to drive a little bit, which I know people in the UK don't like to drive. But you know, we'll get them out of the house. You know, and come out to the show.
Play street in the UK, and they're like, "It's not my house. I'm sorry, I can't make it. It's not my house." Greedy bastards.
But on this run, you've been co-headlining with the Wonder Years.
Yes.
A little bit of a mixture of fans and kind of bass beforehand. So how has the show really gone down between on this tour?
It's been really good. I mean, it's kind of a shame that we've never had the chance to tour with those guys before, because they've been a band for as long as we have. It's been 13 years for both our bands. And I feel like there are kind of a lot of similarities. They're a little bit, heavier maybe, or... they have more guy fans than we have.
Maybe they don't have as many ballads.
Right.
Maybe that's what it is. Huh?
Yeah, but they do have some ballads.
Yeah.
But I've been a big fan of theirs for a long time. I think they're just such a good band. And I was actually telling them on this tour, I didn't really notice it until watching them live, but I was like, you guys remind me of Further Seems Forever, which is one of my favorite bands, Further Seems Forever. And there's kind of a lot of similarities, I think.
And you offended them, right?
they were like, none of them were like, had listened to much of Further Seems Forever, and it's funny how that goes, right?
But
yeah, they were around years ago, right?
Yeah, for sure.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember seeing them playing in Newport in Wales.
That was a great, we got to do a small bit of touring with Further Seems Forever way back at the very beginning of this band. But anyway, they're Wonder Years is awesome. We've done some like festivals with them, and we've always kind of tried to tour with them. But it's always been a case of just things not lining up. And so I'm really happy it worked out this time. Seems to be really cool. It's been cool to see some of our fans that I talked to after the shows saying, like, I love the Wonder Years now. And then vice versa, some people that say, I came to see the Wonder Years, but now I'm a huge fan of you guys. And so it's cool to have some of that that crossover happening. And they're great dudes, and I think they're a similar kind of... There's a lot of similarities, even with just kind of how they operate. For us, everything in the band is the band is a unit, and not just like one person making decisions or in charge. Like, we vote on everything, and they're the same way. And we'll go out to bars with some of those dudes afterwards and hang out, and they're chill guys, and we've had a lot of fun. And same with Movements and Pronoun are awesome as well. They really bring something cool and unique to this tour, and it's four really good bands, I think.
I was afraid that we were going to have walkout after Wonder Years got done playing, because they're great and they bring out a crowd, but luckily their fans stick around.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice,
yeah.
Well, we had the same problem with I used to be in a band called The Blackout, by the way. Sorry about that, if you ever are unfortunate. Unless you're unfortunate every year. We toured with All Time Low, and I remember Jack coming into our dressing room, because we were a little bit heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I thought all your fans would be like Pantera dudes. And I was like, you've seen my floppy fringe. Surely you know that no Pantera dude likes this. And it was a kind of a strange tour for us. But it was oddly, weirdly nice to play in front of a crowd that kind of wasn't our genre.
Right.
And you meeting a lot of metalier kids on this one who are saying nice things about you guys? Or have you met, tell a better question, have you met anybody who's been a dick about it yet?
Oh, no, I haven't. And that's part of what's cool, yeah.
But I think the UK fan, typically is a little bit more open, than the American fans, who are a little bit more, they stick to their genres, their specific bands. Which is really cool over here. And you see that in the club nights too. You go out if they're doing, you know, rock songs. They can mix that with like dance stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah. Awesome. Fantastic, yeah. So obviously it's been a really busy period for you over the last 18 months with the release of your latest studio record, Sunnyland. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of Mayday Parade fans really saw this album as some of your best work in a very long time. Mm-hmm. How
my hand's in the air.
Yeah.
That Mayday fan. Yeah. Is in, like he's been bragging this record up to me for ages. So
That's great.
Yeah, but reflect on that. Have you seen any differences in that yourselves? Was there anything a bit more special about this record when you're reflecting on it now?
Yeah, for sure. And I think kind of what you said, you know, it really, and that was kind of the goal, I guess, for us, was to make an album that kind of fits in with everything we've done before. And I think there are songs that kind of could go on any of our previous albums, you know, and fit in, as well as hopefully some new sort of ground and some, you know, stepping into some new territory at the same time. And so I feel like it's a really well-rounded, there's a little bit of everything on there. And it all just turned out really cool. You know, sometimes like there's songs that you're really excited about and then the final product of it is like, this just didn't really get it right. It didn't turn out as cool as I was hoping, you know, is what happens sometimes. And usually there's like a couple tracks on an album like that at least. But this album, I feel like kind of from start to finish, I feel really strong about all the songs, and they all turned out, you know, I think how we were hoping, and it's been good. And a lot of folks have, you know, told us that it's, you know, one of their favorite albums or whatever, and that it's great. It's been really good.
That's amazing that you're still churning out your best work. Like, I know, some bands just get jaded, and you know, it becomes a job that they just write.
It's tough.
You either write the same old bullshit that you're bored of, or you write something. I find the bands might go the complete opposite way and try to write something new, and then like cut their own legs off, I guess, a bit.
Yeah,
you've kind of got to find that equal level between new and still sticking one foot in your sound, I guess.
Right. Yeah, you have to kind of build upon what it is that people like about your band.
Yeah.
And but try to, as you said, you don't want to just keep doing the same thing over and over again and become stale. But it's a very difficult thing to do. But
yeah, if you were to, I kind of feel like if you're going to go too crazy, you might as well start a side project. You know,
that's exactly how I feel.
Because people view it almost like it's maybe it's a bad way to say it, but like a brand. You know, and they come to expect a certain product from you. Although at the same time, I don't think we're ever going to be able to reproduce what we did 10 years ago.
Yeah,
you know, that's just natural evolution of a band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because for me, listening to it, I think there was a lot of different sounding songs on the record, but it wasn't like that, you're trying too hard to sound different throughout it. It's just kind of a natural progression of some acoustic numbers, some ballads, some really hard-hitting, heavier rock tracks as well.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think we've always tried to do that and to... It's annoying to me sometimes when there's a band that I really like, and I'll like and I'll listen to an album, and then by the middle of it, you start to go, this kind of sounds like the same sort of thing, just kind of over and over again. And I've always loved the being able to have the diversity of doing some softer stuff and some heavier stuff, and just kind of make it interesting, I guess, like from start to finish, and have its ups and downs and have it flow, you know. But
and it helps a lot. Everybody's writing and trying to bring the best ideas to the table, you know, in this band. So that helps a lot, not coming from just one, two guys or whatever, you know. On a sixth record, you might start to fall a little flat. And then, you know, we spent a little bit more time with this one as well. I don't know if that was, attributed to it, you know, it being a better record. But I feel like it did. You know, had we gone into the studio with the first writing session we had together, we'll get together for a long amount, you know, like a month or a couple weeks, you know, and try and put something together. If we had just gone off the first session together, it would be a very different record.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. How does... So how long did you spend writing this record? Like you said, like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it was a longer process than normal, and a lot of that was because it was sort of split up into we wrote for a little. I mean, we're always kind of writing just individually. Yeah. Like even now, we're starting to submit demos for whatever is next. So just kind of individually, we're all writing. We got together for a couple of weeks. And then we went and recorded a couple songs. We recorded some songs with John Feldman and Howard Benson. And then we did all of our 10-year Les N' Romantics touring. And that was like in between sort of like the first part of recording the album. And then it was like 6 or 8 months later that we recorded the rest of it. And it was kind of cool to do that. And it kind of, I think it helped us, not that we were trying to recreate a Les N' Romantics by any means, but as far as the, like trying to identify like what is it that people like about this band, and we all sort of understood how important that album was to an extent, but doing all that really kind of like drove it home, like sort of like I guess going back to like the basics of what like works for this band, and I think kind of helped us focus like that second writing session and what we should be I guess trying to do from then on out. But so yeah, all in all, I don't know, we spent about a month and a half or so probably together writing, and then everyone individually. We had like 70 songs or something coming into.
Nice.
It gets a little crazy and hard to pick through.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Did John Feldman produce the whole record then, or was it just early days? Or
he did. There's three songs on the record that ended up being songs from John, and then there's one song from Howard, and then the rest were with Zach and Ken in Atlanta. Nice. Kenneth Mountain, Zach Odom in Atlanta. And it was cool. It was weird how different each of those experiences were, and I was nervous that it was you'd be able to tell that it would sound like it didn't have a flow, like it was disjointed. But it actually, I think you can't really tell, if you're just listening through.
And Chris Lord-Alge mixed it, so that
right.
I'm sure helped. To bring it all in,
right?
Together.
I've had friends who've worked with John, mm-hmm. who were unsure about his processes, should we say.
They'd
leave in the morning and they come back and he'd be like, look what I've done to the song, and then you listen to it and it's like a totally different song with trumpets, and it's like, we haven't got a trumpeter.
Yeah.
So where have they come from? Who's done that overnight then, John? Yeah. You nutter.
Right.
But I don't know if any of their stuff came out with him, but they found his energy, Matt, like he was just always up for it as well. And
He's extremely unique, man. There's no one else like him. I think we all like. It was stressful, honestly, recording those songs with him. But there's something about it that works, and there's something
that's kind of his thing,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Not even that. Like he was, that's a bad thing to say. It's like that's just how he likes to work.
It's kind of his process.
Yeah, it just moves you slightly out of your comfort zone, I guess.
Right.
Just
right.
Makes you a bit more.
And he's very much just go, go, go. Yeah. Don't stop and overthink this. His whole thing is like, let's capture the moment or capture the magic as it's happening.
Oh, wow.
And there's something really cool about that, but maybe he's a little too fast paced for us. But I think we got some really cool stuff, and he's really a great guy. He's a really nice guy, and he's obviously incredibly talented. I heard that he stopped drinking coffee not too long after. He would drink like 12 cups of coffee a day and was just
you
like
at least
wired.
Cut it back, right?
That's crazy.
And so I don't know if anyway, he's a good dude.
Yeah, you said about John and Howard. Did you work with them together, or were they two separately?
It was separately, and they're both in L.A. So we did I think a week with John and 2 weeks with Howard, and then it was like opposites. It was like it was go 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 with John, and then Howard. It was like we recorded 3 songs in 2 weeks, and it was just so slow, and like just sort of. Going over everything, so it's sort of just the very opposite end of like the way to do things.
Must have been interesting to have got to have done that and seen how those two, both of them, are massive producers,
right? Yeah,
and how they work so differently.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh. Yeah. It was cool. It was nice to because we've recorded most of our stuff with Kenneth and Zach in Atlanta, so it's nice to do some of that as you were saying, get out of your comfort zone and just kind of switch things up and see what happens,
Oh, awesome. Going back to the Les N' Romantics 10th year anniversary tour you did last time you were in the UK, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm proper wrong. I remember stories of that record really going from selling it in the car park of Warped Tour to then 10 years later having such a big demand for you guys to do it and doing these solo shows all across and being a part of that last Warped Tour. It was just a crazy reflection to see how far that had come in a decade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's part of why, yeah, doing all of that touring was just so insane, is because, you know, whenever we wrote and recorded that album, there we had a, you know, slight bit of buzz about the band, but we weren't, you know, touring wise, we weren't worth more than, you know, maybe 20 kids, you know, a night or anything. And it was, we were a baby band and had no idea how, you know, successful that album was going to become. And so, yeah, I mean, doing all the 10-year touring of that was just, totally insane, to think back, you know. I think that's, again, part of why, like, I feel like Sunnyland is very much kind of like a nostalgia album to me. It's kind of like a looking back at, like, everything we've done as a band. And that's, I guess, where I was saying we're doing all that 10-year Lesser Romantic stuff, sort of, that's where all that kind of came from, I feel like, you know. And all of that, like, self-reflection or whatever. Yeah.
How much would you say the scene has changed since your first record, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed a lot, obviously, just with there's so many factors. I feel like we were right at the end of that, like, wave of these, of, like, the, you know, Taking Back Sunday, Fall Out Boy, like, My Chemical Romance, like, these bands in this scene that made it, like, really success, like, pretty much, like, broke out into, like, the mainstream,
yeah,
of, like, success. And then that all kind of, like, started to die off, and then there's been kind of a resurgence of that, but nothing, there hasn't been a band that's really broken through like that, yeah. I feel like, or maybe not. Well,
the closest one is probably 21 Pilots, but it's,
yeah,
again, like I said earlier, it's just got a toe kind of in that world.
Sure.
And the, yeah, I guess it,
yeah,
with a hip hoppy.
Yeah, and also just the way that everybody, like, you know, like we used to walk around with backpacks selling CDs, and
yeah,
you can't do that, and no one's gonna buy a physical copy of, yeah. And like I've talked to bands in the last few years that say they've tried to do that, like grassroots, like following tours, and but they'll show someone the song and they'll go, oh, this is cool, is it on Spotify? And they're like, yeah, yeah.
So you,
like,
right, well, go around giving away paper links, yeah, written down, yeah, with, like, please open this Spotify link.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so you're not, like, you're not selling, yeah, CDs to, like, make gas money to get to the next, you know, like, it's, yeah. So that's all changed, and just with, you know, social media and everything, like, it's everything's, you know, changed a ton. But you know, at least we're just happy to still be doing it, really, you know. Yeah. I mean, it definitely, it seems like rock and roll, like, especially, you know, live music and, like, actual, like, bands and all that is definitely kind of on the decline, you know.
Well, for me, always looking at it, I always saw Mayday Parade as, like, right in between that kind of pop punk scene and the emo scene as well.
Right.
Have you felt that, like, there's kind of being, you've been a band that have really joined two scenes at the same time in some places?
Sure, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I feel like, yeah, we were kind of at the end of that emo wave, and then there was like this big pop punk resurgence, and I feel like we have, I don't know what we're more, I guess we're probably more emo, I guess, but
yeah,
you know.
I would consider ourselves more emo. Yeah, you definitely see stylistic changes, you know, like you said, we were on the tail end of that, probably the height of that pop punk sort of thing, and then now it became poppier, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
things,
yeah,
got,
yeah,
more digital, which is fine. I can be a fan of that too, but yeah, and maybe a little bit more polished, you know, as well.
More pop than punk.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely did. And then even past that, like, I always listened to heavier music, but I think it's interesting, I used to think of heavier music as not being able to, it kind of having like a glass ceiling, right? But yeah, now I'm realizing it's changing again, where I think heavier music has more potential,
yeah,
you know what I mean, to become more popular or more mainstream than even what we do now.
Yeah.
You know, with bands like Bring Me the Horizon or like Palisades or...
But I guess Bring Me touching on again, changing
the pop and
changing,
yeah,
the sound.
Yeah, and they're doing... Yeah.
Right. So,
but yeah, they work, yeah, with that... Yeah, a lot of those heavier bands are working with those digital elements. It's just interesting, yeah, to see, yeah, the style change over the last 13 years.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned before... You're demoing some new stuff now already. So what's the situation with everything at the moment? Is it just working on the next kind of record, or have you got any little ideas where you want to take Mayday Parade next?
Yeah, we don't really know. We're kind of like starting to try and figure that out now, and we've had a lot of conversations about it, and it's kind of tough to say, because I mean,
You know, a route that a lot of bands are taking is just putting out singles. You know, it's just it's crazy how, because there's just so much, you know, new music that comes out every single week, that it's like you put out a record and then a month later it's kind of like, what's next? You know, like it doesn't have like the lasting power that it used to, you know. And you know, Spotify or you know, iTunes, they're not gonna playlist a song that's been out for, you know, months or whatever. And so it's always about that, like that next new thing. And so I don't know. We're just talking about all that stuff and figuring out, maybe, you know, maybe record a couple singles and put them out. Maybe record an EP. Maybe just do a whole album and release it differently. You know, I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. But
I think that's what everybody else has said so far. Like everybody else, we've got, this will be our 14th episode now, and everybody else has said they're looking at changing the way they're putting up music.
Yeah,
it's interesting. That
you
you're
can't just drop 12 songs anymore because people just are fed up with them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
People's attention is measured in like nanoseconds.
Yeah, I think it gets lost in the shuffle now as well, where a record will come out, people just listen to the singles, they won't get around to the whole thing. You've just got four or five tracks of that record you remember it for, then instead of the whole 12 or 11 or whatever's on there.
I hope it's not a reflection of Sunnyland, but it is funny when you go down the list, you know, in track order, you see the plays get dwindle as you go down the list.
That's same thing with the podcast. Like when we look at the analytics of it, keeping people to do 100% of anything anymore is nigh on impossible.
Right.
Like you know, you're getting like 85%. And we're like, why are they trailing off 85%? Like, halfway through like our interview, and then you're like, why is this happening? Like,
it's just
people are sitting on their laptops working, or you know, seeing stuff, and then just new image, or I'm taken away. Yeah, somewhere different now.
Yeah, yeah. The amount of content is just it's like an overload. It's insane. Yeah.
I think putting like a single out a month maybe is the answer, or something. So then you've got 12 a year. You could bring out an album at the end of the year.
Right, right.
The collection of them all.
Yeah,
people wanted a disc or whatever.
Yeah,
it's vinyls. You know, that's a thing, right?
That's so it'd be nice to
right.
But you could also do like 45s or whatever with that. Even that's true. You know,
yeah.
So
awesome.
Yeah, we're figuring all that out. And then as far as like style and stuff, I guess it's kind of too early. I'm, you know, we're all just kind of, I feel like we all just try and write just the best songs that we can. And
so we're not having an exclusive The Mayday Parade of Gone Hip Hop or death metal.
Somewhere between,
not yet, but who knows?
We write them, you know, we write those songs. They just don't make records.
We do, yeah.
You just never make it. Oh, I can't wait for the May Death Parade album. That'll be the album.
Yeah.
So with that, now what's the plans for the rest of 2019? Is there anything, May Day Parade, you're really setting your goals on, or is it just keeping playing shows, do the festivals, and writing in between?
Yeah, I mean, it's staying busy. There's a lot of stuff that we're doing that I'm really excited about. It just isn't announced yet, so I can't talk too much about it, you know.
Ooh,
but I know
just come out next Friday. Yeah, all right.
Good. A lot of really cool things. You know, staying busy, staying touring, and then working on new music. We're actually already kind of figuring out, you know, early 2020, which sounds insane to say.
It's crazy. We're living in the future.
Yeah,
we're literally living what I used to think of as a kid as it's the future.
Yeah, exactly.
And we haven't got one fucking flying car.
Yeah.
Or hoverboards.
Or hoverboard.
I really wanted the hoverboard. But nice
Biff,
big one.
But Biff is president.
Yeah. So yes.
Biff did. Future 2 was kind of...
They called it. They called it for sure. Except he's worse than Biff, but yeah.
Definitely. We all agree. You know, there's no argument there. Where can people find you online, on your socials and stuff?
Yeah, it's all the, you know, it's a, you know, yeah. All the stuff. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Just Mayday Parade.
Sweet.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you very much
for
having us.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Yeah.
Thanks for having us, guys. I appreciate it.
Cheers.
That was the fantastic Mayday Parade.
Yes.
How was that for you, Morgan? Oh, I'm a big fan of them.
Yeah, well, I loved having them on. I think it's safe to say you hadn't really met them beforehand or anything like
no.
that.
No, I think our paths had crossed, but I don't think like we'd ever sat down or had a chat. Like, and it was only after the interview that they brought up that we had like the same crew on stuff as well.
Yeah, or Bradley.
Oh, everyone loves Bradley.
Yeah, actually, I have a friend who actually was obsessed with him for some reason, so...
Strange.
But yeah, Mayday Parade.
Hey, maybe we shouldn't be friends. Anyway, yeah, Mayday Parade were fantastic. Thanks again to them for being so lovely. Thank you very much to Hayley Connolly for sorting it out. You're a fucking star.
Yeah, and it was just great to get an insight for them from their first album, A Lesson in Romantics, to the new one, Sunnyland. again, I think it's some of their best work. Still going strong now.
Cool. Well, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin, and get involved with helping us. If not, check out our socials on Twitter and Instagram, SAPPENINPOD. Yes, I did forget in the middle of that. That's SAPPENINPOD. And last but not least, we want to give a massive shout out to the people who have become the Patreons of the Sapnin podcast at patreon.com/sapnin. They are Amy Evans, Emma Barber, Jake Bolter, Jenny Robinson, John Price, Kylie Wheeler, Marcy Jacobson, Mark Platten, Martina McManus, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, and Scott Jones. Thank you very much. We've been Sapnin Podcast. Please never die.
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.